even more community, even more empowerment, even more diversity, even more inspiration, even more. A podcast founded by Valletta Dance Company, where we invite women from all over the world to share their stories and share their projects. Welcome.
I want to do normally, but I'm too busy or like preoccupied. Definitely a lot of time to think.
Yes.
So yeah, it's going good over here. You know,
I'm glad everything is good and that you're taking time for like to be with yourself. I think also that has been a time for me to reflect and to be with myself and being able to do these type of projects that I wanted to do a long time ago, but I think now was the perfect time.
I think
we can start by welcoming everybody that is gonna maybe watch this video later. This is a series that I started. It's called Even More, and it's just a space where I invite badass woman who's making a difference out there, either by making art, making projects, or creating community. More the other side of the camera more, because this is something that if you remember me as a choreographer, I always say even more, even more, more. And I don't see that as a negative thing. I see that as a positive thing. Like, we can have even more difference, even more community, even more unifying and creating a larger community. And especially for artists that are emerging and maybe they're not very out there, I wanna be able to find more artists, more women, so we can start, and well, not start, because this is a conversation that we have had and for years, but just continue this conversation of woman empowerment and in which ways women are making art or doing something. So today I invited Cassie Mills, longtime collaborator. She's a dancer, she's a performance artist, she's a yogi, she's a custom designer, and so many other things. You're a multidisciplinary artist and that I admire and that I personally have collaborated with. And and I wanted to invite you to talk about your projects, and especially the one that is unfinished, that we can get more into it. But why don't we start by, maybe you can introduce yourself and say a little bit about yourself, and then we can go from there. But do you mind maybe putting the camera a little bit more towards your face?
Closer up. Let's see.
Maybe more to the center. Yes.
Is that good?
Yes. There you go.
Better?
Yes.
Okay. So just start by introducing myself?
Yes.
Basically? Okay.
What do you do?
I'm Cassie. I have collaborated with Val for a long time, as she said. I started out as a dancer, and as I sort of grew into myself, that expanded into a lot of different type mediums and types of work, because I found that even though dance was my way to communicate, choreography and movement was what allowed me to learn about myself and continues to allow me to learn about the rest of the world. There are crossovers between movement and a lot of other things that can be utilized to express oneself more deeply, in my case. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of what has led me to explore video and film, explore installation work, explore yoga, explore costume, all of these other elements that allow me to build on top of my knowledge and understanding of dance and choreography and performance and female identity. So now I work primarily as a yoga instructor, but I also do my own work on the side, which, as I was just mentioning, is a combination of multiple different mediums. Does that make sense?
Yes, total sense. And just the fact that you said that you sort of like expanded yourself and that you realized that the way of communicating or expressing yourself is not just dance, I think it's beautiful. I think usually as dancers, it happens that we think that we just need to dance, or that as dance artists, dance is our only medium. But somehow you use this word that you expanded. It's like you give yourself permission to explore other avenues, other forms of expressing yourself. And
right.
Like your costumes are beautiful, and the way you collaborate creatively with choreographers and other dancers, it's just amazing. Like for me, at least, like you read my mind every time. Like we were creating a work, it's like, okay, you need this. You would show me something, and I was like, you got me completely. And lately, you have been doing a lot of yoga, right? Can you tell us a bit about that? How has that also impacted your life or changed your life? Do you think it has informed also your artistry?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, as a culture, as a society, a lot of times we have this idea that we're just one thing. You know, like, I'm a doctor, or, you know, I'm a secretary, I'm a waitress, or, you know, whatever it is. People get tied down into one career path or one thing that they identify with. And I think for today's day and age, that's kind of dated. And it doesn't really allow us, you know, some of the fullness that we might need in the pace and the kind of vibe of today's world. So, you know, and living in New York City as an artist can be really, really difficult in some ways, because there's not a lot of funding in the arts as much as we would like to have. And it's very, very expensive to live here. And you have to be working and moving all the time. And, you know, as for an artist, you know, you kind of have to explore it moving quickly, but also moving slowly as a person, as in your own pace of life. You have to find different qualities that you can be a part of and explore in order to make really honest, full work, in my opinion. So for me, yoga was a way that I could integrate movement and other qualities of living, other paces of life, into one kind of bubble where I get to work on myself, where I get to be involved in another community, where I get to help other people, where I get to make money, but I also have more room, or at least it feels that way, to really explore different qualities within human identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you mentioned so many things. Like, first of all, yeah, like yoga, maybe this was a way for you to integrate it in your quality of life, just integrate Cassie as a whole, like everything that you are. And then you mentioned that, like, today's world doesn't allow, like, it's impossible to not be exploring other things. And maybe right now, like, something that I've been having a conversation in Ballet to Heal and even in here, is that how this time in this quarantine and isolation has allowed us to really go inside and dig deep, and I think finding our honest voice, and you have been doing that since a long time ago, and it's just amazing. And I'm interested. Yes. So I really want to get, since we have like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I want to get into the project which I participate in and that you invited me to be part of, because I think it's so important that people get to know it and that you tell us about it. I can tell my experience maybe after you kind of describe us. How was that for you? For now, it's Untitled, right? So
for now, it's Untitled. I have a couple titles that I'm thinking of, but I'm not really ready to tie it down yet. It's such a intimate and complicated emotional project that I've kept a lot of it pretty secret, as you know. And have been working on it at a really slow pace to just ensure the safety and integrity of what's going on there. So yeah, Untitled right now. Yeah.
And I love that you said the safety and integrity. For me personally, like, living in New York, somehow I did feel the pressure that I needed to be every day, like, every other 4 months. And just being here, like, living in El Paso has allowed me to ground myself and to allow myself to really land ideas. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
And land ideas and recognize what is that I actually want to say. I don't know why the screen light is turning off. But
my screen's turning off?
No, mine. Every time I step away, it turns off. But anyways, I think your work, it's something that is going to be in process maybe the rest of your life, maybe doesn't have an ending because it has so much into it. But why don't you tell us about it, like maybe a mini description, and then what was it that made you start it?
Okay, so I am working on a multimedia project that has come out of exploring and learning about murders of women over the past 100 years that have taken place in New York City, whose bodies have been found either floating in water or buried in the woods. Women whose bodies have been lost or who no one really even knows or is missing until their bodies are found. And so I started getting into researching all the murders that I could find, and realizing that there was so much overlap between a lot of them and so much violence committed towards women by men in this way. You know, like, out of all the murders that I found of women's who have been found buried in the woods or floating in water, only one of them was committed by another woman. And in that case, it was a woman whose sister had been murdered by a man who was a serial killer and found in a similar way. So it was, anyway, very few women murderers discard of their victims in this way. Anyway, so this started to get to me and sort of speak to me this issue. And so I started pulling out similarities of murders, of multiple murders, combining them together and kind of restaging an amalgamation of them, a representation of multiple of the murders. And then I build what I call a physical obituary around the victim who represents, you know, all victims, all female victims in this. So I build a physical obituary around them, and then I shoot it on Super 8, and the image appears like a still image, but it's actually film. So, like, as you watch it,
wow,
you notice that it's moving, but you can only see, like, small, subtle changes in light, or if the wind blows, or something like that. And it's for me, it's a couple of things. One, it is a space for healing. It is a space for women, specifically these women, to be acknowledged, and a space for them to, you know, kind of transition out of that trauma, heal from it, and also a space for all women to mourn the fact that this type of violence and hatred towards women exists. So yeah, that's kind of what the project is. Do you have any questions about that?
It's just amazing, Cassie, and I think it's like we go to the subject of domestic violence, and about, I recently had a conversation about this with a man, and I guess I was a bit triggered because I'm still trying to communicate that or to express myself in a way that he mentioned something that, okay, so women stay there because they want to. Women stay in those type of relationships because they want to, or women, men are also murdered.
Right, but it's not that simple.
Yes, exactly. So, so how do I, like, it's not that simple. Like, women that are in that situation can't just get out of those relationships. Like, there's so much involved. There's manipulation. There's a lot at stake. And then no one knows. So I think a lot, and also domestic violence comes in so different forms that it's a bigger conversation, right? So, yeah. And
there's all these little things in life that go unnoticed, that lead up to feeling okay with, or somehow allowing that to kind of be a part of our lives. You know, like, our whole life, there are all of these, you know, gender-based social constructs and kind of small, subtle oppressions that we deal with as women. I mean, many types of people deal with this type of thing, but in this case, we're talking about women, so we'll just keep it to that. But, you know, when that is a daily thing, certain kind of actions that other people do, treatment of, like, how we allow ourselves to be treated, all this, it's easy to let things just become ingrained in you and things to just seem really normal when they might actually be really dangerous, you know?
Yes, and it starts with the microaggressions that maybe some people don't even know that it's not okay, and it's not okay. And actually, I specifically also, like, I want to bring the subject more in depth later, maybe with other artists, other women, because I think there's still so much awareness to bring to it. But in terms of your project, it's so beautiful that you're giving them a space for victims to transcend, to heal, and the way you do it, for in my experience, so Cassie invited me to be part of one of her how would we call it?
one of the, I guess, short films.
Yeah, one of the films installation. And can I tell about my experience a little bit about
Absolutely. Horror?
Okay, so Cassie invited me, sent me the information about this specific woman that was murdered and then thrown to the river in Beacon, New York.
Well, actually, correct? A series of women. I sent you a couple of women.
Okay. And then she told me, you're going to be buried for hours. And I was like, what? Okay, I'll do it. So I was buried in front of the river of Beacon, New York, and stay there, I don't know how many hours, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Maybe three, a while.
Yeah. Yes. And just the way you created, because you're not just a custom designer, like, the fact that you created that little kind of like altar with trees and then painted in pink, it was like so special. It didn't really feel like even if I was all covered in makeup as if I was beaten, it, when I saw the photo and saw myself, it looked like, yeah, like a healing for those women. So I think for me, my experience was really challenging at the moment, but the fact that I was able to stay there and then see the photo later, even if we haven't seen the actual film, it was just like, it was so powerful. And I'm so grateful that you invited me and allowed me to explore that space of like how it is to be stuck and just be, to experience that for a moment, but also to hold space for other victims and other, followers. So how was that specific project? Let's talk about the one of Beacon, New York.
So the one that you were in, and also, you know, I'm so grateful for you to be a part of that project, which it meant so much to me to have someone who I feel so safe and comfortable with to be there with me in this experience. So Val was a model, a performer in one of the pieces that I am working on. And this particular one was based off of women who have been drowned, bludgeoned and drowned, basically. And so she was partially buried on the shore, and we used makeup to create like head trauma and bruises around her body. And then because this particular one was based on women who had been drowned, I had collected a lot of driftwood and painted it kind of fleshy pink and created this sort of rib cage up around her.
Yes, rib cage. True.
Wow. Yeah, that were kind of like a representation of her lungs. So like, even though her murder, this woman, or these murders of these women, you know, their breath was taken away from them, that's how their life was taken from them, I had these more metaphorical lungs kind of grow out of the space that Val's body was in to provide a release to that particular type of trauma, but also to show that even though something has been taken away from her, her history is still there. Her identity is still there, and we see her and we feel her, and we are thankful for her. And in that way, like, to give not only a space to victims like this, but also a healing space to, you know, their mothers, their sisters, their friends, like everyone who has to grieve because of violence like this, violence that comes out of, you know, social constructs and bigotry and all kinds of other crazy, terrible things that we just, you know, inequality, the inequality that creates this, that leaves a room for this sort of evil. So, does that make sense?
Yes. So the woman that I was represented, it was just not one woman. It was many women that were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I took a series of murders that had similarities, and I pulled out a lot of those similarities and then created your character from that, you know?
And I think this is so beautiful for survivors, like for survivors of domestic violence, to be able to have the space to talk about this subject, maybe without feeling fear, maybe without the stigma that also is around it. And
or even so, feeling fear and knowing that fear is okay.
You know? Yes, exactly.
Because it's still scary. But we have to give that voice too, you know, and it doesn't make us weak.
Yes. And so Do you think there was an age range on those women specifically that you found about in that region?
Yeah, I mean, most of the women were between like 14 and 35.
Wow.
But you know, it goes all over the board. You know, it really goes from young children to old women. You know, and a lot of them, you know, you see a lot of strangulation, drowning, you know, women beaten over the head, obviously raped. You don't see as many of these shot, like, because these type of, where women are found in this way, the murders tend to be a little bit more violent,
mm-hmm.
like hateful. And shooting is just so quick. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous to say, but it's kind of, most of them are, you know, beaten or really hurt, experienced pain.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's a space for women to unify and be able to support each other and, yeah, support each other, acknowledge each other. Because I think even in between women, there's still also that conversation to have and awareness.
Absolutely.
And
I feel like it's, in some ways, the most important to have that conversation between women, to like have that community where we deal with that together.
Yes.
You know, like,
and
I don't know how else we would get through it.
Yeah. Women supporting other women, but also something that, like, in conversations that I have had with men, it's just like I try to tell them, you're not my enemy, on the contrary, like, we're on the same team. Like, not because, like, I'm a woman, like, of course we have to, there's this el patriarcado, and men are more privileged than women in many ways, but I'm not, when I bring this type of feminist conversations, it's just like, it starts to get into an argument, and it's not an argument. It's just like, us as women, I feel that our responsibility, just by being women, is to bring awareness to all of these subjects, and one of them, domestic violence, microaggressions, and just understanding that it's about equality, and it's about also not making the men the enemy, like, understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want enemies. We don't want control over other people. It reminds me, so Margaret Atwood has this quote that Courtney Barnett, who is a singer, used in a song recently, and it goes, men are afraid that women will laugh at them. Women are afraid that men will kill them. And to me, it's such a strong, beautiful statement, because it's really true. Like, you know, all we want is safety and equality.
Yes.
We want voice.
Yes. The freedom.
Yeah. We don't want to have to look over our shoulder every time we walk down the street, which we all do.
Yes.
You know, so it's really as simple as that. And even a project like this, I mean, people are always, I think a lot of people give us shit because they're like, oh, it's not really that bad. Like, I'm sure it's okay. And it's like, if you're not a woman, you don't know,
yeah,
like, how often you have to look over your shoulder. And I think if you are a woman, sometimes you forget that you're even doing it, because you do it all the time.
It's already so ingrained. It's like part of it. Like, living with that.
Right. You learn when you're a little girl.
Yeah.
Your mom teaches you when you're a little girl. Like, you don't go here. You can't be doing this.
And walk by yourself at the time in the night. Yeah.
Right. You know? So.
And it is a bigger conversation.
It is a bigger conversation. But I think that people who think that feminism is about hating men or about some kind of power and control that we really want, or it's like, they just don't understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that's okay. And there have been a lot of really, like, in your face, like, blunt, intense feminists, and I mean, I love that, but I think that there have, you know, there's all types of feminists.
Exactly.
So
lately, so, and I'm taking a feminist theory class. It opened my mind a lot because I know that also as is my responsibility to understand more also my own privilege. Like, there's different types of feminism, there's different types of aggression to different women, but like it, being able to respect that and respect that what she's speaking, she has all the right to speak. I have all the right to speak about also my own experience, but in which way we can support each other. It's also not about separating.
It's not a competition.
Women. Yeah. And I got to read this, like, different manifestos from different women, and it's just so powerful. And it really gave me the perspective to understand that, like, it's not just about being a woman. It's also about, like, age, class, race, and it's when we talk, when we like enter and talk about like the intersectionality, like when all of these like gather, it's not just the woman, like there's so much into it. So I also want to talk about the second one you did, because right now you have done two series of
I have this unnamed installation. Yeah. I have four planned, so they'll be, I mean, we'll see what happens. I may do more or less, but I have four. I'd like to get four of these short films done before I move on to the next step of my project, whatever that may be. And the second one I did in winter at a waterfall. And this piece was based around murders of women who had been raped and strangled and left outside. So I had another friend performed for me, and she was dressed from to her waist and then from her waist down nude and draped over a rock, and then we painted her, you know, her wounds on and stuff, and then I filled all the areas of her body that had been assaulted with a series of wintergreen flowers and ferns that seemed like they were growing out from her. And then I built essentially teeth around her body out of icicles coming up out of the snow, again with more moss and ferns and other like winter berries and things like that, and again made this what I call a physical obituary around her.
Yes.
Something that speaks of her murder and also speaks of her, and is a place for her and her everyone in her life to heal, and us collectively as women to heal. And that one was a hard one to shoot because it was really cold out, and you know, the lady who was performing was, you know, partially nude and in the snow, so and it was with the icicles, which melt and stuff. So but yeah, that was a really intense one to shoot, and you know, like as once you start to shoot a couple of them, it gets more and more intimate and more intense, because like you're dealing with so much, you know, I don't know, part of me feels like the more of these that I do, the more I'm like invoking some kind of harm into my life, which I don't want to do, obviously. It's not about, I don't want to give the murderer's voice, I want to give their victim's voice, but obviously if you're giving one voice, you're giving the other voice to a certain extent, you know? So that's like a really complicated confliction that I have, and also part of the reason I haven't really shown a lot of what I'm doing, because I want to make sure that it's not voyeuristic in the wrong ways, you know?
Yeah.
Which is becomes really complicated to do with something that you're looking at all the time and working on all the time, you know? So it's important to take time for me to take time away from the project so that I'm sure that I'm seeing clearly when I do work on it.
But that really speaks about you, like, your bravery and the courage that you have for, like, being able to create that for other women. And I think that's, of course, it's going to trigger something in you. And I think also that's the point, triggering in a way that, okay, like, yeah, and maybe it's also part of healing. I think it's part of the healing, like the triggering and to deal with it, because somehow, like, for women who have dealt with that, some they don't want to remember that again. But
yeah, but it's there.
Hello? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Sorry.
Because, but yeah, and, but it's so powerful also how you use makeup. Oh my God. So I got to see one photo, the one you were talking about in the winter, and I don't know how you did it. Like, you really made her legs look like if she froze. And then the bruises seem so real, and it just seems so real. But, like, when you see the ferns and, like, the other plants that you placed, it's just like, wow, like, it's really a combination of the two things, this duality.
Yeah, like life and death, decay, exactly, birth. Yes. You know, safety and harm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you. The makeup, as you know, is like an alcohol-activated kind of paint that you use. And they use it in films and stuff. But that just came out of a lot of research of looking at pictures, like images of bruises and cuts and what, like, frozen material looks like online. So it's just like a lot of, like, and practicing on myself, you know?
Yeah. And do you, like, how was the experience also for the other art artist? I wonder. I don't think I have had that conversation with her.
So for the other performer, model, you know, she's a very, like, I'm not gonna name her because I don't know if she wants anybody to know it's her or not, but she's a very, like, let's get this done kind of individual. So she's like, okay, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, and then we do this. All right. And she just does it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it was really interesting for her because even though she is just very much like that, very matter of fact, she knew how, like, this was very different for her than a lot of the other work that she does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only thing I will say is that I think because it was so cold, it was at least, the cold was able to distract her a little bit from, like, what she was actually having to embody,
mm-hmm,
on a level. So I think in some ways it may have been a little bit, emotionally, it might have been a little bit easier than the one that you did, where it was like, it was warm, it was hot, like, you know, you had more attention that had to be directly on your experience.
Oh, you know what? I was cold.
You were?
Yes. The water was freezing. Like, the water was really cold, and I remember that it was shaking, and I can imagine how was that experience for her.
But like, was I had cold. But I had body warmers, like the things that you put in your shoes and stuff. So,
yeah,
like, her whole torso was down, laid over this rock. And underneath her was a blanket covered in heating things.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that we really had to worry about were her feet.
Yeah.
And we only, I had to set that whole thing up and then like put her down and shoot everything occurs in like five minutes, as opposed to like when we did yours where you had to be buried the whole time. Hers was built all around and then we just like later and quick shot it and got out of there.
Yeah.
Because it was just too cold to do it. I mean, you couldn't have had her lay there for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
But you really, in my experience, you really took me out of my comfort zone, or however you want to call it, and made me discover even my own courage to do work to inspire others and to really like do work that also is making a difference. So for me, it was really a life changing experience, and I'm sure that it was for her. And that like you're also planting that little seed in us, in the performers that you invite. So it's like, yeah, you inspired me so much courage.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, how do you plan on continuing this project? And is it only going to be like right now based in New York City? And do you plan on bringing it somewhere, or what's next?
I will do 2 more in New York State. At least. And originally I wanted to do, one for each season, But because of various circumstances, I think that the next one will probably land towards the end of this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be upstate New York, outside. And I'm getting the specifics of that one together now. The first two were the more like medium shots, medium or long shots. This one I would like to do a much more close up shot, or like where it's really just a certain part of her.
Okay.
And really close up and intimate, and focus on building the altar / obituary as though it really, really is coming out of her. Like, even though she was harmed so much, she still has beauty. She still has luck. She still has happiness. She's still growing.
Nobody actually took that away. Like, she has that in her. Yeah.
Right. Even though she is in some ways gone, or maybe in some ways stuck in this trauma by being lost in the woods, that doesn't mean that she is all gone. It doesn't mean that all of the good was taken away from her.
Yes.
So, so I'm going to really start to hone in and do some much closer up things with much smaller details, that really, really do appear to be coming from inside of her.
Oh my God. Wow. Inside of her. And it's
so
like,
we'll see.
Yes. But it really makes me think about how, for women who have dealt with situations like this, it's like reminding that you are not broken, that you have all that beauty in you, and that power, that it's still in there.
Or what's that? The saying, there's like a little quote. It's like, you have to crack to let the light get in, or something.
Yes.
You know, or to let the light out, or I don't remember exactly.
Something
like
that.
That.
Yeah. Exactly. So I just want to ask you if, like, in which way people can get involved with this. Maybe, what if there is women out there that would like to help you make this project live? Would you be open? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. People can email me. I can give you my email to post on the Vimeo.
You can on the Vimeo. You can actually put it here. That's what we've been doing. So you can comment your email here, so people that when they watch this, they can see, and they can.
Okay. Cool.
So you can put it now, and maybe I can pin it. I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out.
All right, here, wait, let me.
Yes. That's a beautiful dress, by the way.
I really said it. Yeah, I gotta move this thing up.
Because I'm sure that there's many people that would love to get involved, because just by being there, helping you, or just holding space, it would make a difference for them and for you and for the work itself.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to work with more women. And just, I mean, if anyone has any questions or anything at all, I mean, you could also just message me on Instagram or email me, and, you know, I'm happy to discuss anything about this further, or if anyone would like to get involved, let me know, you know, and we'll talk about it and figure it out.
Yes. And do you have, like, a date in which you think this first part of the series will be presented or will be in an installation for people to see? Like, do you know, do you have, like, an idea when?
I used to, but now I think first I have to get all four of these done before I go any further. And then I'm, like, I still would like to get a little bit more research done. I'd like to collect and read some of the police reports for some of the murders that I've researched, if whatever the police will release from the various precincts. And then after that, I will figure out where I would like to show these films. And I think that there will be a physical installation and potentially live performance element accompanying these films. Mm-hmm. So that would all need to be worked out, probably at least a year's worth of time. But yeah, we'll see. Like, but, you know, I'm going really slow. No
rush.
You know, no rush. Just keeping it very, you know, intimate and slow and steady right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like letting the art itself and the process evolve. Because even if, for example, you already made two of those series, I'm sure there's still things coming up. And it inspires me. And I think for other artists that are making work, I think it's important to really allow ourselves to, like I said at the beginning, to land and to really reflect why are we doing this and in which ways we can explore and dig deeper into what is that.
Yeah, I think so too. For me it's also, there's a healing on a personal level, and each time I do this, it's like I'm doing a sort of ceremony for these women, for all women, really. And so in that way, you know, it's not a work that is for me to show off to other people. It's a work for me to do for all women. And then if at some point it is ready to truly be unleashed into the community and seen fully, then it will be, you know?
Yes. Wow. So somebody commented, this sounds really interesting. Yeah, I think.
Thank you.
When you start sharing about it and show us, I'm sure it's going to make a huge impact. And I think I even told you once, like, you should come to Juarez. Like, I'm from Juarez. And Juarez, there has been, I mean, in all the world.
Yeah, we should do a Juarez series.
Yes, yeah, I think your project can expand, and there's so much in there, and I congratulate you and for doing this and having the courage of making this art that is so powerful and not easy. And yeah, Thank you for that, and thank you for sharing. I think I want to just use a few minutes. If somebody has a question, you can ask now. Question for Cassie. Or do you have a question, Cassie, yourself, or something that maybe you want to tell to potential artists, potential collaborators, or maybe even female artists that want to do something like that?
I would just say to any artist, any female artist, is don't put any limits on what you think is possible for you to do or not do. Just get right into the middle of your work and just do what comes out. Just do whatever it is that feels like it's coming out from inside of you. When you get to that place and all of that comes up and you unleash it, then afterwards you can look at it and refine from there. But you don't have to just be a dancer or just be a videographer or just be a sculptor or just be a photographer. You can blend and mix things however you want. And, you know, even if you're not classically trained in any of these things, that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to utilize them, you know? So, yeah, give yourself freedom and just truly explore.
Thank you so much, Cassie. Thank you for
your
work.
I'm so honored to be a part of this. I've had so much fun. And yeah, this is really such a cool thing, Belle. You should have a podcast.
I might do it later. But yeah, I think the point of this is to really create awareness and make this community larger. And maybe I see this in the future, like, going to the next level, doing something else, and maybe in which we can all gather the artists that I have been interviewing and do something together. How would that be, you know? And
yeah, that would be awesome.
But it's in the works too, and it's really something that I'm exploring. And I thank you for just giving me permission to ask so many questions and for you to share about your project.
But, my pleasure. It was really nice for me to be able to talk about it. it felt really good.
Yes. So
I'm happy about it.
Your email is here for whoever is interested in emailing Cassie for collaborations or just like to have a conversation, anything. And we also have your Instagram here, so yeah.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Cassie.
Thank you.
We'll talk later. I miss you, and we'll catch up of our own lives because we haven't done it. But but yeah. Thank you for this, and thank you for everybody that joined.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Love you, Val. Love you, everybody.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, how do I?